I think Stephen Posnack is on the line, Deputy National Coordinator.
You got it.
Excellent, my friend. How are you doing? I'm sure it's
good.
Been,
can you hear me still?
I can. I'm sure it's been a crazy, I can't imagine what you're going through. Never mind all of us just kind of scrambling. You've had to not only scramble, but you've had to do a lot of work over the last 6 to 12 months to 5 years so to get us here.
Yeah, those are all appropriate units of measure.
Exactly. So first of all, thank you, my friend, for taking time out of your busy day to join us. So we'll kind of dive right in. I'd like to actually give you kind of the floor and let you hit on some of your high points. We'll have a couple of follow-up questions, but I really know there's some real important pieces that you want to get out to a large audience today. So I'll kind of give you the floor and some of your high points from the new rule.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And just to follow on to Dr. Rucker's remarks, unlike the other rules that we've worked on in the past, this one is both larger, obvious statement, but also has a much more transformative impact that we feel will make to the entire healthcare industry as a whole, both to enable patient access, but also to give providers better choices in terms of how they use the technology that they have available to them. One thing I wanted to be clear, which is certainly one thing that got brought up as part of the rulemaking process, was stakeholders' request for more time to understand and comply with the rules. Obviously, information blocking is a new legal and regulatory paradigm. And so what we did was to allow for more time for education and preparation in the beginning. So for the first 6 months, there are no compliance requirements up front, to just say that colloquially. And then over time, there's a gradual phase-in for the information blocking scope and obligations overall on industry stakeholders. So we hope that will give a gradual way for everyone to come into compliance with the rules, and answers a lot of the concerns about having this apply come day one when the rules become effective. Similarly, on the certification program side, and that's probably the other important point to make, is that our rule is really two rules in one. A portion that applies to health IT developers only in terms of updates to our certification program, and then a portion that applies to health IT developers, health information exchanges and health information networks, and healthcare providers, which is the information blocking related provisions. So when it comes to changes to our certification program, again, only applicable to certified health IT developers, there are a number of changes there, some of which, as we visited last time I was on, and as Dr. Rucker mentioned, relate to benefits that will ultimately accrue to healthcare providers in getting more confidence and assurance in their products. Congress required that real-world testing be performed of those products, and that's one of the things that we've subsequently included in that final rule as well. So happy to turn it over to you, ask any more questions.
Sure. So I think the biggest thing, and you guys did a great job with your infographics. I will commend the office. You guys do a great job sharing very complex information as simply as possible. So certainly I'll encourage my audience to go out there and look at your website. First of all, go give us your URL really quick, the short and sweet one for the website or these key time.
Yeah, absolutely. So healthit.gov will always get you to the right place, but it's /cures rule is the extra to add on to healthit.gov. /cures rule.
Yep. And if you're on Twitter, it's #ONCCuresRule.
No, CuresRuleONC.
Yeah, CuresRuleONC.
Perfect. CuresRuleONC.
Yeah, that's right. In the beauty of picking out what hashtag to do, we noticed that there would be two C's if we did it in a certain way. So we put our name last.
Excellent. Very smart.
You are up on the Twitter.
Yes, he is.
So. Yes, that is true.
Did a great job. So what are some of the key timelines there that you want to share specifically, Steve, with my audience and our audience today?
Yeah, absolutely. And there is one of those fact sheets that you mentioned that lays out a highlighted version of some of the milestones. So, first and foremost, I'll stay with information blocking because that one's a bit simpler.
Yep.
From a timeline perspective. You have the first 6 month period, which is when compliance with information blocking would be set to begin. Between month 6 and month 24, the only data that all of the what we call covered actors are responsible for not information blocking is the U.S. core data for interoperability, which is that new standard that we adopted, a new core data set.
Yep.
And that's how we helped to create this kind of gradual and incremental approach for stakeholders to adjust to the rules over time. So between month 6 and month 24, only the US CDI is in scope from an information blocking perspective. And then at year two and beyond, that's when the full scope of, as we've defined, quote unquote, electronic health information is in place. And that's really, to say it no more simply than that, that's how information blocking lines up from a timing perspective. When it comes to certification, some of those rules become effective 60 days after the rule is published. And one bit of clarification I can note here, even though we released the rules publicly yesterday, they are not officially published in the Federal Register yet in that tri-column format. So everyone has a bit of a warm-up and stretching period before the official start date and starting line is laid out. And that'll be when the rules are published in that tri-column format from the Federal Register.
Yep.
So when it comes to health IT developers, they've got a number of different timelines along the way, but the one that I'll emphasize most will be that two-year milestone, where just like with information blocking, the U.S. Core Data for Interoperability, that standard has been updated into a number of different certification criteria, including the new secure standards-based API certification criterion that Dr. Rucker mentioned. And that will be health IT developers will need to roll those out products certified to that criterion to their provider customers within that two-year period of time. So in very short order, in the grand scheme of things, all of us as patients will be able to use smartphone apps to connect to these standardized and certified APIs.
Excellent. Did you have a follow-up question, Roberta?
I did, Steve. Tell us a little bit about the industry in itself. You've been putting this out for a year now. The proposed rules have come out and everything. What do you think the vendors, are they prepared? How prepared are they to actually doing the integration of apps?
Yeah, so that's a perfect question. I think preparation it always goes on a spectrum. We've looked at some numbers and certainly have done some data briefs and blog posts in the past about industry adoption of FHIR. And that was, with regard to the release 2, which is the Argonaut version original. Many of those health IT developers, which, you look at the data, occupy a large provider market share. Many of those health IT developers have been in motion and moving toward FHIR release 4, which is what we adopted in the final rule as the sole kind of API based standard. So from that perspective, they've been, I think, relatively well prepared to move in that direction. There are a few other areas where we gave them more time to make adjustments relative to our certification requirements. I think the biggest adjustment for them overall is looking at their processes, looking at some of the business arrangements that may be different or may need to be adjusted as they start to go through the conditions of certification and the changes that Congress directed us to make to our certification program. And I think, some that have been tracking along with our regulation from the proposed rule stage, even dating back to, the Health IT Advisory Committee, and other comments that we received should be well positioned to comply with our rules in I don't want to say short order, but along the timeline that we've laid out. And as you mentioned, for the infographics and other fact sheets that we've put together, that's our attempt to get everybody else up to speed as quickly as possible.
Yeah, you guys did a great job. I went through a lot of that yesterday. I sat on as many calls as I could, and I think just some of the feedback that I've been getting from the industry, it's very accommodating. And so I think you guys have done a phenomenal job handling a very difficult and tough piece of legislation. So phenomenal job, Steve and team.
Mm-hmm. And audience, follow him on Twitter.
Yes. Great insight.
I say it all the time.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Come for the policy, stay for the gift, right?
That's right. I believe he calls FHIR muy caliente. That's his newest
one. That's right. My Spanish teacher would be proud.
Awesome. Steve, always a great guest. Thank you so much, my friend. I know you have a busy afternoon, so we'll let you go. I believe we have Elise Sweeney Anthony joining us now, but thanks again, Steve. All the best.
All right, a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Take care, buddy.